You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews 11, and thank you for your patience. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, we started teaching on faith here a few weeks ago, and we got into the 11th chapter the last couple weeks ago. We had the white gift service, I believe, last Wednesday. And then we went over 11, 1 through 12 and talked about what faith will do. I love that. You know, we talked about us having it. We all got it. And then we went into some of the things that faith does. And this lists men and women who trusted God. You know, all kinds of situations, all different kinds of occupations, all kinds of ages that they were in and ages that they were. And yet they received miracle after miracle and deliverance and salvation and promises, one right after the other, because they trusted God. And those first 12 verses, some of the things that we talked about is what faith will do. It puts substance to what you hope for. Now, you can hope for something, but if you don't believe God, it's not going to happen. You can desire something, but it's trusting God that's going to make it happen. This is not wishing upon a star, you know. This is not Jiminy Cricket in the Disney movie. You know, when I wish upon a star, you know. No, we're actually believing God, and that puts it in a whole different realm. This is not mind over matter. This is not just thinking strong enough and positively confessing enough. No, this is trusting God. And so what faith will do, actually put substance to your dreams, to what you hope for. People hope for a better life, a better marriage, you know, better health, better job. You know, people hope for heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell. But until you believe God, you have no substance to your hope. When you start trusting God, you have evidence, you have substance, you have a promise that you're standing on. And now you have a right to it, and it takes it to a whole other level. And so it puts substance to what you hope for, makes your dreams come true. It shows you what other senses don't, because it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, why would you want to go through life without one of your senses? You wouldn't want to walk through life without sight. You know, just get up and say, I just don't think I'm going to go by sight anymore, and just close your eyes off. Well, that would be ridiculous in the natural, but we often do that with faith. We choose not to believe, but we're cutting ourselves off from all that faith reveals. Faith tells us what our senses don't. And when God, thank God He gave it to us, because everything that you see and feel and taste and touch is not everything that's going on. And if you're depressed because of what you see, you can get joy from what you detect by faith. Are you with me? You know, and when everything in the natural depresses you, you need to step up another level here. You need to believe. And faith reveals to you what your senses don't. And that's what it tells us in the first verse. It causes us to have a good report. I like that. Through it, the elders obtained a good report. It causes us to understand. Through faith, we understand. I don't know everything, but I trust God. I don't know how they make dip cones at the Dairy Queen, but I know if I pull up that drive-thru and order one, they'll give me one. It comes out of the window like magic. But I don't have to know how they make it. You know, we say, well, how's God going to do this? I don't see how in the world God... Well, you know, that's God's business. Faith is just trusting God. Through faith, we understand. We understand through faith. And, of course, it talked about Cain and Abel, you know, and Abel's sacrifice was more excellent, and he obtained righteousness. So faith will make your sacrifices acceptable, put it that way. Because no matter what you do for God, if you don't do it in faith, it's just useless, worthless. If you do it just as a duty and not as faith, not really trusting God, God doesn't look at just what you do and what you give. He looks at your heart. And so, you know, obviously, you know, Cain worked for his sacrifice that he gave. He tilled the ground. But it wasn't what God wanted. God wanted blood sacrifice, and that's what Abel gave. And Abel knew that. And so Abel came knowing this is what pleased God. Not what he decided to do, but what God wanted him to do. And so we often do that. Well, you know, maybe I don't go to church, but I do these things. Well, yeah, but you see, God wants you to go to church. Are you with me? Well, I don't read my Bible very much, but I'm a nice guy. Well, see, you're bringing a sacrifice that God is not calling for. He's calling for you to do what He wants you to do. And faith makes your sacrifice acceptable. And you cannot bring a sacrifice in faith unless you know that's what God wants you to do. And that's what the Word's for. You find it in the Word. You go, you bring it, you do it, because God says so. And you do it in faith, and He accepts it. It's a more excellent sacrifice. cause Enoch to be translated. It pleases God, according to the sixth verse. Without faith, it's impossible. It didn't say it's hard. It says impossible. You know, and we fall in that trap sometimes. Well, you know, God knows how I am, and I just have a hard time believing. I know He loves me. Well, okay, I know He loves you, but you're insulting Him when you say you don't believe Him. Yeah, but I just feel so bad, Pastor. You know, well, you know, I feel bad too, but it doesn't change God's word and doesn't change His promise. And God forbid that I would insult Him because I feel bad. He's not a fair weather God. We need to trust Him and believe Him. When we're feeling bad and things aren't going right, we need to believe that things are going to turn around and His word's true. And it's going to come to pass. And that's why He's so pleased with it. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I mean, you're not going to please Him by not trusting Him. I had someone tell me one time that I think there's a lot of ways you could please God without faith. Fine. I don't see it in the Word. I mean, you can think what you want, but the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So we have to stay in faith, and it has nothing to do with our feelings. It has nothing to do with the way things look or all the reports that we've heard, good, bad, or indifferent. Faith just is solely focused on what God says, and it trusts God no matter what. If your knees knock, kneel on them. If your lip quivers, quiver the word out. You know, whatever you do, do it in faith. You don't let feelings determine your trust or your faith, or circumstances determine your trust or faith. So I'm still reviewing. I'm trying to get, excuse me. It pleases God. It brings reward from God because He rewards those that diligently seek Him. Noah's case, it saved his whole household, and he became an heir of righteousness. So faith will save your household. I've stood on that for my household. And I will never regret. As long as I live, I will never regret believing God for my family. Yeah. Acts 16:31 tells us that He'll make a way for you and your whole household to be saved. I believe that. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how many times you have to say it and stand on it and trust God. He makes a way for you and your whole household to be saved. That's what faith will do. I know my children are serving God because they trusted God and they believe God. I know that. But one of the rights and heritages that I have as a servant of God, as a child of God, was that my family would serve God. And I've held on to that. And of course, they had to make their decision. There's no doubt about that. But faith will get your whole household saved. And it'll keep you living in the promised land with your children and your grandchildren. Because Abraham sojourned in the land of promise by faith with his children. And his grandchildren, with Isaac and Jacob. The promised land, land of promises. I'm living in the promised land. This is the land I live in right here. Oh, I may be in Texas, and I may be in Wills Point, but this is the land I'm living in. God's promises. Praise God. And he says, he goes on to say that concerning Abraham, that he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Well, faith always looks for what God builds. I'm not looking for what the devil does. I mean, you can turn the news on and find that out any day of the week. But if you get in the Word, you'll find out what God does. And not only will you find out what God does, you will start looking for what God does. Hey, I don't have to live this way. Hey, God's got a better deal for me. Hey, God's got a better life for me. You know, the doctor says this, and thank God for doctors. We're four doctors, you know. Doctor told me Wednesday last week I had pneumonia. He said, you know, this stuff takes up 6 weeks to get over. Well, you know, I mean, that's what the doctor says, and I understand that. And I'm not denying what the doctor says, you know, that he made that diagnosis. But the Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Yeah. You know, so I've got a choice. I'm going to stand on God's word or what the doctor says. I'm not disrespectful or insulting the doctor in any form or fashion. They're doing their job and, you know, and gave me some shots and stuff and antibiotics. But you know what? I believe by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm doing what I can, the natural and all those things. But that's not something I have to accept. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Don't have to accept it. So it says that it'll cause you to live in a promised land with you and your children and grandchildren. And it looks for things that God builds and makes. Faith will give you strength to conceive the seed of God's word. You say, well, I know those promises there, but I don't know if I could ever bring them to pass. Well, you've got faith. You can bring them to pass. Faith gives you strength to conceive seed that God gives you, and it'll multiply what you had. From one person, one man, him as good as dead, Abraham, spraying a multitude as the stars of the heaven. So you and I can multiply what we have by faith. Multiply our promises, the promises in our lives. Now that's some things that faith will do. And that brought us down to the 12th verse. You write notes and circle, underline, highlight. Okay. In the 13th verse, from the 13th to the 16th verse, it talks about some things that, some characteristics of faith, you might say, attributes of faith. And I think it's fascinating the way it starts out in the 13th verse. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, first of all, that's all we heard for 12 verses is promises that they received. So what in the world does it mean, having not received the promise? Well, the promise they didn't receive is eternal life. But they wrought righteousness. They obtained righteousness. Enoch was translated. Noah was spared and his family. Abel's sacrifice was received. Abraham had the son of promise. So what do you mean they didn't receive the promises? What's he talking about? Well, he's not talking about the individual things they experienced, because he praises them for that, and they're recorded that they did receive. What is it they did not receive? Well, look at the 39th verse. Just jump ahead. It says, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. In other words, they did not go to heaven. They were not saved until Jesus rose from the dead. God had something prepared something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So the promise of eternal life, or heaven, as it were, of righteousness, total righteousness, which we have in Christ Jesus, they didn't receive, because Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, and he hasn't given his sacrifice, his life, and shed his blood. But they did receive a lot of promises. Are you with me? Does that make sense when you look at it in that perspective? Because he praises them for all the things that they did receive because they did believe, and you can too. Hallelujah. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them. This is interesting, because now we begin to characterize what faith does. I mean, what faith is, characteristics of faith. We've talked about things that'll do for you, that you can receive. Now we're going to talk about how it operates, or how you can recognize it, as it were, attributes or characteristics of faith. This will change your life if you get a hold of it. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Faith sees the promise afar off. Sometimes it's way out there, but faith will see it. Faith will detect things way out there. Maybe you're way, way away from whatever that promise is. Maybe it, not in a million years you think it's ever going to happen. Maybe your feelings and your circumstances and your upbringing and all that you know tells you there's no way it could happen. Faith will pick up on it. Faith will see it. It always sees further than your natural eye sees. It sees way off into the future. It sees your victory. It sees you winning. It sees the promise coming to pass. Faith will detect things way out there. Now, if you don't believe, you're limited. You have a very limited vision. You see that? We're kind of limited to what's going on here, what the news is telling us, what our feelings are telling us. But faith goes beyond that. Faith's like a telescope. It sees something way out there. You know, I'm reminded of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, where Elijah put the whoop on 450 prophets of Baal. Y'all remember that? And in fact, it was amazing. He challenged them, you know, and he said, y'all make sacrifice. Y'all call fire down from heaven, and then I'll call fire down from heaven, and whoever's God shows up, then he's God. And so they, 450 prophets of Baal. Think about it. And they had sacrifice. They all day, I mean, they got out there, and they cut themselves, and they cried, and they hollered out to God, and Elijah ran out and says, cry a little louder. Maybe he's not home. You know, maybe he's not here. Just cut yourself. Holler a little louder. Maybe he doesn't hear. He was taunting them, you know. And when it's all said and done, he says, okay. He says, now make me a sacrifice. And he put 12 stones around it, you know, dug a ditch and a trench, and he got 4 barrels of water. And he said, pour that water on there. soak it down real good. They did, and he says, go do it again. Pour it again. Pour it on there again. That's, that thing just, that's no challenge. Go ahead and pour it. And so they poured a second. He said, go pour it another time. Three times they poured these barrels of water, and the water just soaked the sacrifice and ran out the ditches. And then he just stood up, and he says, God, you know, he said, show these people who's God, whose God is God, and show them that I am a prophet of God. I call upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God consumed the sacrifice. I mean, burn up all the water, the sacrifice, and everything. And Elijah slew 450 prophets of Baal. Every one of them. And the king was there. Ahab was there. The king was there. And so, this was at the end of a drought that Elijah knew was ending, because he prophesied it. He prophesied there'd be a drought for 3.5 years. And he knew that rain was coming. He cleaned house, killed all the prophets of Baal. And so he got his servant, and he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. And he said, go out and look. And he went out and looked, came back. He said, I don't see anything. He said, you go 7 times and you look. And the 7th time he came back, he said, I see a cloud like the size of a hand. And he says, let's get ready to run, because the rain's coming. And he outran the king's chariot all the way back to the city. But see, he saw something that nobody else saw. He saw further than anybody else had seen. Even the servant just saw a little cloud after 7 times, just a little cloud. But you know, just a little cloud's enough. Faith saw something more than just a little cloud. The Bible says the sky darkened and the rain came. See, that's what faith will do. It'll detect things nobody else sees. It sees things way off out there somewhere. Your hope, your victory, it's coming. It may be just the size of a man's hand, but it's coming if you'll continue to believe. So it tells us here that having seen them afar off, it's like a spiritual telescope. Look through the telescope of faith and you'll see things at a great distance. Amen. It says, the King James says, was persuaded by them. New King James, I believe, says, were assured of them. Assured of them. That's fascinating to me, because it was just a little cloud that Elijah saw. But he was more persuaded by that little cloud than he was all the sky that had no clouds in it. Because he had God's word. Sometimes we have a little promise and it seems like just a hand, size of a hand out there on the horizon. And everything in our life is telling us, no way, Jose, it's not going to happen. But faith says, yeah, it is. I see it out there. And I am persuaded by it. I'm not persuaded by all this. See, it sees something. These are characteristics of faith. This is what faith is. This is when you're operating in it. It's when you're detecting something nobody else sees. And you're persuaded by it when nobody else is persuaded by it. Because faith does not care what everybody thinks. It just doesn't care. It doesn't care what it looks like. It doesn't care what it feels like. All faith is concerned with is the promise of God that it detects, that it sees way out there. And it says it's persuaded by that promise. You know, that's what Romans 4:21, it talks about Abraham. And it says that he was fully persuaded what God had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, that was a miracle in Abraham's life. When you think of that 4th chapter of Romans where it talks about his body now dead, the deadness of Sarah's womb, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. But see, he had a promise from God. God had said something to him. And he embraced it in this sense. That's what it goes on to say. It says it sees it afar off, it's assured of it, and it embraces it. Now, you know, the things that you cherish, that you love, you talk about all the time. You know, it didn't take much to get me talking about my grandkids. You know, especially the girls, you know, because they're special. Everybody knows that. At least the girls do. Or, you know, hunting. You know, I like to hunt. You get around somebody that hunts, and they talk about it a lot. They're, you know, they embrace it. They embrace something. There's a lot of things you can do in life, but it's what you embrace, the things you love, you embrace. The things you're convinced of that you institute in your life, you wrap your arms around, you embrace. Well, in this case, faith sees the promise. It's assured of it, and it embraces it. I love that. You got to wrap your arms around the promise of God and hold on tight. Because the devil will come to steal. And what he comes to steal is the word, the promise. Well, don't you let him. You hold on to it. You embrace it. If you're holding on tight enough, it won't get away. You know? I mean, how many times you've seen a football game lost? Well, maybe not many of you ladies, but a football game lost because somebody dropped the ball or fumbled the ball. They didn't hold on to it tight enough. It's a treasure. You don't let it go. And the word is something that faith embraces. If you're really in faith, now here's the kicker, see, because a lot of times we think we are, we're really not. If we're really in faith, we're not going to let the promise go. Because faith embraces the promise. It sees it. It's persuaded by it. Doesn't matter what anybody else says or what I feel like. That's what the promise says. And it embraces it. And it holds on to it. And then it goes on and says this. Y'all writing this down? Yeah. This helping you? Okay. In that same verse. Now we're still in the 13th verse. I think this is fascinating. All this is in here. Sees the promise afar off. It's persuaded by the promise. It embraces the promise. And then it says it and confessed, embraced them, the promises, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Man, I love that one. Because you connect to things. You become a part of. A lot of times we're trying to find our place in life and it's just found its place in us. I may be in the world, but I'm not of the world. And I may know a lot about a situation, but I don't need to be connecting with everything, you know, sickness and disease. I don't want to connect with it. It doesn't belong to me. Healing belongs to me. I confess that I'm a stranger to this world. Are you with me? I'm a stranger to this pain. I'm a stranger to this depression. I'm a stranger to this poverty. I'm not of this world. So I confess with my mouth that I'm a stranger to it. It has no power over me. I mean, it's not. It doesn't determine my future. It doesn't belong to me. And I don't belong to it. I'm a child of the living God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment I'll condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. So, you know, although they were in the world, they weren't of the world. They weren't looking at the world. They weren't persuaded by the world. They didn't embrace the world. And they didn't confess they belonged to the world. They didn't confess the world. They confessed God's word. Hallelujah. They didn't confess pneumonia. They confessed healing. Are you with me? They didn't confess depression. They confessed, you know, joy. In Jesus' name. They didn't confess allergies. Now, we fight these things. I understand that. And I know these are challenges, but we've been redeemed. You know, it's not my allergy. It's not my headache. It's not my cancer. It's not my. What's mine is healing. Yes. Are you with me? I am healed in Jesus' name. And so we're not denying all those things. We're denying their right to continue and rule over our lives. That's what we're denying. Well, they exist. Sure, of course they exist. They don't belong to me. They don't belong to you. Amen? Hell is not my home. Heaven is. Amen? Heaven is my home. I belong to heaven. Heaven belongs to me. Jesus paid a price. I can go there. So I'm not going to hell. I'm not hell bound. Now, I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. Now, I have to repent, you know, when I sin, but I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. He made me one. He washed me in his blood. So I see by faith the promise, and I'm assured by it. I embrace it, and I confess I belong to it, and not to the, you know, not to the problem or the circumstance or what is presently going on. 14th verse says, for those who say such things, now that's important that we get a hold of this, because if we're not talking this way, if we don't change the way we talk about God, about ourselves, about our future, about our family, if we don't start saying what God says, you know, then this doesn't apply to us. But if we do say these things, these kinds of things, you're going to be weird. You're going to be peculiar. You're going to be unusual if you talk this way. But if you do talk this way, you're telling God, me, and everybody else plainly that we seek a homeland or we seek something better than what we're involved in or what we're experiencing. Now, personally, I seek something more than sickness and disease. I declare it plainly that I don't seek it. I seek something better. I seek healing. I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to accept depression. I'm not going to accept poverty. I'm not going to accept defeat. I'm not going to accept my children going to hell. I will not accept that. I'm not going to accept that. Are you with me? I plainly, by what I say, declare that I seek something better than that. And faith always seeks something better. Faith does not accept defeat. Faith does not accept what the devil offers. The devil's knocking on your door. He's got a delivery. You don't have to sign for it. And what faith says is, no, that's not what I'm accepting. I'm not accepting that. I seek something better than that. Faith doesn't say when a problem comes, okay. Faith says, no way. That's what faith says. And so, those who say such things declare plain they seek a homeland. Something better. See, faith will always take you to another level. It'll always improve your life. It'll make you a better person, a better man, a better woman. Because that's what faith does. Faith makes you better. It doesn't make you worse. Faith doesn't allow things that happen to everybody else happen to you. It just doesn't allow it to continue. Well, you may get sucker punched, but it doesn't determine your future, those things that are happening to everybody. Faith determines your future. And it says, for those who say such things declare plainly they seek a homeland. And truly, God, this is so good. Man. I'm dependent on the anointing and not the volume of my voice. Truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. If you continually think about the past, if you're always talking and thinking about the problem, if you're always calling to mind the lack, the circumstance, the battle, the enemy, you will always have opportunity to return. You know, when I think about my past before I got saved, I hardly ever talk about it. I've been pastor over 28 years. You don't know much about my past other than, you know, I was lost, did drugs and wild, got kicked out of high school. But you don't hear the stories. You never hear me gloat over them. You never hear me make a joke about them and laugh about them. I'm not proud of that. That old man is dead. I am not that person, and I am never going back to that. Are you with me? It happened. I was lost, but praise God, I am now saved. And when I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost, what do I want to do talking about all that junk for anyway? Amen. I'm not mindful of it. I'm not proud of it. It's not funny. It's not cute. I might share it as a matter of testimony, but frankly, just pretty much ashamed of it. Are you with me? I tell you what I'm real excited about, though, is when I got saved.
Yes. Yes.
What I'm real excited about is what Jesus did for me after I accepted Him as Lord and Savior. I'm not mindful of the past. I've forgotten a lot of that stuff, thank God. I really have. I've forgotten a lot of stuff that happened in high school. And, you know, I just don't remember a lot of that because I don't go over it. I don't talk about it. I don't bring it up all the time. Brenda has to remind me when we talk about somebody. Who was that? What are they, you know? Because we just don't do that. We talk about the Lord. We talk about what He's done, what He's doing. I'm not going to be mindful of something I came out of. I'm not going to fill my mind with things I've been delivered from. Are you with me? And that could be anything. That could be anger. That could be a sin. That could be, you know, you start thinking about it and you see, whatever you think about, you'll go back to. Faith doesn't do that. Faith doesn't allow that luxury, we might call it in life, to think about those things. Faith is another way of thinking. Faith doesn't allow your mind to be full of what you came out of. Because whatever your mind's full of, you will have opportunity to return to. And so, you know, that's not these kind of people. They didn't continually talk about how good they had it in Ur of Chaldees. There were some Israelites that all they could talk about was the onions and the leeks. In Egypt, and how good they had in Egypt. You know what? They died in the wilderness. They didn't make it to the promised land because they couldn't let it go. They kept thinking about everything was so good and had it so good. Listen, I was lost and going to hell. What do you mean? I have nothing to go back to before I got saved. These are characteristics of faith. When you're in faith, you're not thinking about the past. You're not going over the past. You're not trying to return to something you've been delivered from. You're going forward. You're going for victory, and you're going for win. If I say win, all right, we win. So, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of. Hey, look, I don't even know what time. I've got plenty of time. Okay. Came out of. They would have had opportunity to return. But thank God they weren't mindful. See, faith seeks, 14th verse, something better. They seek a homeland. Faith will always, if you're in faith, you're always looking for something better. Always. Always. If you're in faith, you're not backing up, trying to return to something you finally got delivered from. Like that guy says, I thought you quit smoking. He says, I quit 100 times. Well, he just keeps going back. Keeps going back because he keeps thinking about it. You got to stop thinking about it. Amen? Go forward. And then it says, 16th verse, but now they, these people who are in faith, that are have these qualities that, that show forth and emanate these attributes in their talking, in their walk. It says, now they desire a better that is a heavenly country. I love that. We said they seek something better in 14th verse. 16th verse says they desire something better. Always desire. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you, throw the towel in. Don't let the devil beat you down to that point. Call somebody, get somebody to believe with you. God doesn't want you to lose. He wants you to win. Shed blood on the cross, took stripes on his back, and died and went to hell and rose again so you could win. Don't you give up. I know what the doctor's saying, but hey, God says something else. It may not happen overnight, but praise God, it'll happen. You just keep believing. Just keep believing. Keep believing. Now they desire better that is a heavenly country. Therefore, this to me has just got to be this is the best reason for all of this, is what he says right here. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. I love that. He's not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I don't want God to be ashamed of me. I don't want him to be ashamed because I gave up, I quit, I didn't believe, I stopped serving him, stopped going to church, stopped praying, stopped being the man of God he called me to be, and stop pastoring, or whatever the case may be, whatever it is. Evidently God believed in me or he wouldn't call me to do what I'm doing. Evidently he believed in you or he wouldn't ask you to do what you're doing. If he didn't think you could do it, he wouldn't have saved you. But he saved you and he knows you can do it. You can do it through him who strengthens you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There's a lot of times I come down here, I don't feel adequate to pastor. I don't feel adequate. I feel like, God, what am I? I need to be out there listening to them. I don't have it. But God called me to this. And if he called me to it, then that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And so you'll always feel inadequate if you start looking at yourself. You'll always feel incapable of doing whatever it is God told you to do. If you look at your own strength, your own weakness, or whatever the case may be. But I don't believe the anointing is dependent on the strength of my voice. I don't believe the calling is dependent on the strength of my body. It has nothing to do with any of that. The anointing and the callings of God are without repentance. So if we stand and hang tough, praise God, and don't give up, we'll get the victory. Hey, real quickly, go to Romans 4. I just want to, while you turn there, some attributes of faith that we talked about. Faith sees the promise afar off. Say faith always sees further than the natural eye sees. Faith is always persuaded by the promise. Faith embraces the promise, not the circumstance. Faith confesses it belongs to the promise, not to the problem. Faith seeks another country, a better one. It's not mindful of the past or the circumstance or what it's been delivered from. And it desires something better, that is a heavenly. And because of all that, God's not ashamed to be called their God. Hallelujah. Romans is a perfect example of this. Romans 4. I'll go through this quickly, but I think it's a great example to look at. And I'm sure you're familiar with it. Romans 4:17, as it is written, speaking of Abraham, God says, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, Abraham was in the presence of God whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, or those things that be not as though they were. It didn't say he calls the things that be as though they weren't. It says he calls the things that be not as though they were. Are you with me? So, for instance, you know, I could say, the doctor says I have pneumonia. I could say all day long, I don't have pneumonia, I don't have pneumonia, I don't have pneumonia. But that's not what faith does. Faith says, I am healed in Jesus' name. It doesn't call things that be as though they weren't. It calls things that be not as though they were. I don't feel bad, I don't feel bad, I don't feel bad, I don't feel... No, wait, now, you're calling something that is as though it wasn't. No, faith does the opposite of that. It calls something that is not as though it is. Oh, I may feel bad, sure, that's there, I don't deny that, but you know what, I'm healed in Jesus' name. The doctor may say that's pneumonia, I understand it, in the natural, the x-rays, all that stuff shows that, but you know what, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm calling for a be not as though it were. Oh, the bank account may say this. I don't deny that. I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just calling for something that is not as though it were. Abraham was past age. Everybody knew that. God himself knew that. But he called for something that be not as though it was. He said he'd be the father of many nations. Abraham didn't say, I'm not 100 years old. I'm not 100 years old. He never said that. He said, I am the father of many nations. See, often we get the idea that we have to deny things that are. That's Christian science. That's not Christian sense. Are you with me? What we as in faith do is overrule what is and submit what is to the Word of God. And we call for, we see afar off. Oh, no, there's no clouds in the sky. There's not raining right now. But I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Are you with me? It may just be the size of a hand out there, but you watch, this sky's fixing to darken. I'm calling for rain. I know the sun's shining. I see the sun. I'm not dumb. I see the sun. But I'm calling for something. You know, that's what God does. He calls for things. That's just like a dog. You call for a dog. You know, you don't go out when you're feeding the dog. If it's not there, you don't say the dog's not here. The dog's not here. You start calling. You know, hey, Rover, come eat. Hey, Rover. You start calling the dog. I mean, you could say, well, I'm just called the way I see it. You get out there and say, the dog's not here, the dog's not here, the dog's not here. But that won't get the dog unless you've trained it to come to that, you know, command. So, I said I'd go through this quickly. So, this is exactly what we're talking about in Hebrews 11, the 13th through the 16th verses. Here in Romans is a perfect example of that. It says he gives life to the dead, God does, and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Abraham, looking at a hopeless situation in the natural, he still believed in that little glimmer of hope. Just that little glimmer of hope with faith, all of a sudden, comes true. Faith puts substance to what you hope for, amen? So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall the descendants be. If you're ever going to become what God has spoken, then you're going to have to believe in hope, contrary to hope. There's no way. Well, God says so. Yeah, but I can't. Well, God says so. Are you with me? And if you're going to become what God says, you have to believe. You have to believe. There's no other way around it. Abraham did not believe for years, but he finally got in faith. Actually, the year before Isaac. You know, Abraham didn't believe God for 25 years. We often say that. He was 75. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees in the 12th chapter of Genesis and gave him a promise that he'd bless him and, you know, the blessings of God that were on him. But he came to God. He says, well, why can't I just have it by Hagar? Have a child by Hagar? He still was not trusting God. And when God told him about him and Sarah again, he says, what about Ishmael? Ishmael had been born by that time. When he was 86, he had Ishmael. God didn't even speak to him for 13 more years. You've got to read it. It was 86, and it says he had Ishmael. That was the end of a chapter. The very first verse of the next chapter says, and Abraham was 99 years old, and God spoke to him. I think God was a little upset. That's my opinion. I mean, there's nothing. It says he didn't say anything to him for 13 years. He was not in faith until God changed his name. And he changed his name when he was 99. When he was 99, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And when he began to see himself the way God saw him, and he started saying about himself what God said, I am the father of many nations. Then, that's when the promise of God came to pass. It says in the 19th verse, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. Now, when was he in faith? He's about 100 years old, 99 to be exact, because it tells us that exactly in the scripture, in Genesis. And being not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body now dead. He didn't connect to his body. He didn't say, I'm only limited to my body. He saw the promise. He confessed it. He embraced it. He's persuaded by it. Nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, 20th verse, he did not waver at the promise of God. He did not back up. He was not mindful. He did not continually think on the fact that he was too old. He was not mindful. Are you with me? He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I love this. This is insightful. Strong in faith, giving glory to God, King James Version. New King James says, strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. You feeling a little weak in your faith? You need to start giving God glory for the promise. You start praising Him for the promise. It will strengthen your faith. Praising God will strengthen your faith. Amen? Start thanking Him for the promise that you're standing on, the prayer that you prayed, for the answer that you're believing for. And in so doing, your faith will be strengthened. And then, being fully convinced or persuaded that what God had promised, He was able also to perform. Wow. Love that. Takes a lot of confessing, though, a lot of praising, a lot of standing, not wavering, standing in faith to get fully persuaded. But if you will, you'll receive the answer, no doubt about it. Because what God promised, He will perform in your life. Faith does that. That's how, you know, thank God we got faith. Thank God I'm not limited to my feelings. I'm not limited to my, my sight, my hearing, and my smelling. And there's more to life than what I see. I walk by faith and not by sight, hallelujah. And all of us can do the same thing. And you know what? Our life will just get better. One day we're just going to go right off into glory. One day, on this high that we've been on since we got saved, this most high that we have, we're going to finally overdose and go right on into glory. I believe that. There's no high like the Most High.